Be Good, Golf and Talk, der Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Be Good, Golf and Talk. This is a very special podcast episode. My name is Manuel Unger. Usually I'm producing this podcast in German and usually I'm playing a round of golf with German celebrities. Now this episode is different. First of all, it's in English because this time I've played golf with Bart Mitchell. Bart and I are brothers from a different mother. I've had the privilege to stay with Bart and his parents, Carol and Don, for a high school year in Central Oregon. A life changer for me also because they introduced me to the game of golf. This was in 1988-89. So they're really my second family. So it's really true when we say we are brothers from a different mother. And we always kept in touch, but Bart and me, we both haven't seen each other for more than 13 years. And we are both fascinated by the game of golf. So in 2022, an idea was born to go on a golf trip through Ireland. Bart and I never played golf in Ireland before, but we both digged online into these beautiful links courses and organized ourselves a tour playing 13 courses in 14 days. Wow. We both never played that much golf, and especially not in such wild and beautiful conditions on such great golf courses. For sure, this is the ultimate golf experience, and you can listen to what we've experienced, what courses we've played, and which ones we can recommend. Thanks to Tentacle Sync, they invented the best audio recording devices I know. If you are into podcasting, into filming, and if you need a simple and perfect way to timecode synchronized recordings, you should check out Tentacle Sync. Check out the show notes. There you find the link. And you'll find Golf and Talk on Instagram with lots of photos and videos of all the courses we've played. Follow us and leave your comments and spread the word that this podcast episode is out. So let's begin. We are now on our way back to the airport, driving in our rental car. Last night we've stayed at Augris Beach next to the beach bar, a pub which is really just great. Good food, good drinks, and a great atmosphere. There we've had also our last pint of Guinness. Now it's time to summarize what the past days were all about. Have fun.
Woohoo! This is it. This has been the ultimate golf experience, and this is a very special podcast episode. First one in English, first one in Ireland, and first one on my left side, Bart Mitchell. Good morning.
Good morning. As I'm rubbing pain reliever onto my sore legs.
Because we have played 13 days of golf in beautiful Ireland.
So Bart, where did we start?
Let's see. So I got to go back and remember. It feels like it's been about 2 months. So we started in Dublin, met up at Dublin Airport, and drove out to Portmarnock.
Yeah. So we stayed there.
Stayed at Portmarnock Lodge. No, Portmarnock Hotel at the Links.
Exactly. And
which is not the same as Portmarnock Club.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a newer course.
Built by Bernhard
Langer. That's right.
Yeah.
Which is right next to the hotel, but the original course was about 2 miles away. Yeah. Mile away. On the other side. Yeah, I'd say probably after all of these, the clubhouse was hands down the most classic, historic, coolest clubhouse. Just old school.
Yeah.
And I just felt like you were walking into a museum of golf, almost, right? With the clubhouse was so cool.
Yeah. Well, at least we had a first tee off at Portmarnock. On our side was our caddy, Paul.
It was so good.
And that was such an experience. I've never had a caddy in my life. Did you before?
I've had a caddy. I've had a caddy at Abandon before.
Okay.
But they're not like this, right? They carry your clubs. They're pretty good at telling you some distance, but you don't get the the stories and the history and the local feel. I mean, he played up the road at his own club.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, it was nice.
I mean, and also, the start of the education of playing links golf, right? I mean, in that day alone, I learned how to hit out of bunkers totally differently than I ever had. I took, I think, first two tries out of a bunker, nothing. Didn't work. And then he's like, no. He's like, play it off your back foot, swing easy, hit the ball.
Yeah.
And it came right out. Yeah. Like perfect. And
you
Yeah, and I was pretty good at using bunkers at home, but it's just a different kind of sand and a totally different feel. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he was great.
Well, and we will always remember when we had tailwind drive on what hole was it? But I think it landed 50 meters in front of, or 50 yards in front of a 420 yards.
Yeah, we measured it. It was like 380 or something down. Yeah. It was fun.
Downwind, firm fairways.
And even when your caddy's like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's really huge.
Yeah, and it really was, I mean, a great first day of golf. We, got the feeling of it, what it will be like. And
like amazing course, really tight fairways, tight, like grass was tight, firm, not as big a dunes, but there were dunes, right?
Yeah.
But the conditions were just fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, really, really good.
And the next day, the conditions actually were also good. We had some rain in the morning.
Remember that we'll be going back. So for Port Marnock, we played the normal 18 first.
That's right.
And then we played,
extra
for a little bit extra, you play another nine. Was it nine holes? Yeah, nine holes on the yellow course, which was slightly shorter, but really cool, and had the whole course to ourselves.
Yeah,
that extra nine holes was finally like, all right, let's relax.
Yeah,
play, not worry so much about other people and trying to figure it out. So yeah, that was a damn special way to start.
Totally was, and the next
definitely
day,
go back to that course. By the way.
I could say that actually to any course.
Right? True.
So
yeah. So I mean, some maybe, some maybe not.
Yeah, true. I mean, of course, if we would come back to Ireland, what we hopefully will do. I don't know if our wives will listen to this podcast. Well, we wish we could. So the next day we played the K Club. So this, of course, is a very famous golf course because the Ryder Cup was held there in 2006. But it is not a links course. It is a parkland course. And I've heard before from friends, well, of course, it's a nice course. You can go there, but you do not really have to. It really is maybe not as nice anymore like it used to be. But 2 weeks before we played it, they held the Irish Open there. So it was really in perfect shape. And I mean, it's just also great to see it. You come there, it's a Arnold Palmer course, right?
Yeah, and the grounds are amazing. Yeah. Driving in is like driving into a massive estate.
Exactly.
Winding roads through the trees, and then this massive grand hotel, and then you pull up and you kind of feel like you're showing up at the Ryder Cup. I mean, I thought the grounds were incredible.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Like, and well, of course it's raining like mad when we get there.
Yeah, exactly.
No one around. It was half dark. But yeah, then the weather broke and we teed off. It was nice. We had great weather.
We had great weather. It really was just the beginning. And the course was a little bit wet, but still so nice to play. And some of the holes were just super
stunning.
Nice. So, but that felt a little bit more like home. And because I usually play parkland courses and not links courses. And actually, we also played quite well on that day. So it was a very nice and good experience. And then I was really looking forward to our third course, because I've heard so much good things about this one, and that is called the European, and that really has some unique features.
Big time. Yeah. I mean, cool to drive out to as well, right? It's just south of Dublin, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
and near Wicklow.
Yeah, which is a very nice town.
And you drive up to it, and there's very little signage, a couple of little small ones you can see. There's no big grand entrance, just a nice little sign on the side. And when you pull up, it's really nondescript. There's not a big grand clubhouse. In fact, when we got there so early, there was like one car in the driveway and no one around. Lights were off.
Yeah.
Of course, there was a storm.
Exactly. We had the weather forecast and they told us on TV that Storm Agnes will hit the southeastern part of Ireland pretty badly with heavy wind. I think they turn out to orange. So red is a hurricane and yellow is heavy storm, and we had orange. So, and torrential rain as well. So we wanted to play that course.
Well, we had heard that the storm was really going to hit about 11 o'clock, right? And so we teed off at 8. It was raining.
Yeah.
And it was windy. By my standards, it was raining or windy as hell.
Yeah.
And it still wasn't what was to come.
And so what we played were the only ones there.
True.
Played. With that course is cool because it actually has 10 holes on each side. There's a 7A, 7 and then a 7A.
Yeah.
And then I think the same thing on the back, 12A or whatever.
We just have an extra par 3,
yeah.
Which it is, yeah.
So that was our first experience of playing into strong winds.
No, in stormy weather.
Of course, we're throwing balls into the rough left and right.
Yeah. But the story behind that course, that really, I like that so much, that there is this guy called Pat Ruddy, and he is a golf writer and a golf maniac. And so he saw that piece of land and, well, he got the money from banks, some investors, I don't know, at least he convinced everybody, I'm going to build there a phenomenal golf course. And that's what he did. And, well, a lot of people say that it's maybe the toughest golf course in Ireland. The course record is held by the mighty Tiger Woods, who shot a 67 on that course, which is a par 72. So I think he didn't play the two extra holes then. No, he didn't. But he played a 67. And it's so well maintained. You can tell that although it was raining and it was stormy, but I really like that course. And we had the privilege to meet his son, who was actually at the counter that day. And he was so friendly, and also the guy in the bar who gave us a cup of coffee after
that's great.
9 or 10 holes. And then we went out again, but we got rained out so hard on number 10, and we came back on number 18, and actually the course was really flooded already.
But even then,
we couldn't finish.
With that kind of rain, it still was still is draining amazingly well.
Totally, yeah.
But that course was the first real kind of dunes, links course that we played, and it's all that, right? I mean, there's big dunes, lots of grasses, the ocean's right there. It's stunning, and you can tell it's stunning.
And it's also so nice because you can stay in that fisher town called Wicklow, which is close by. It's, I don't know, 15 minutes drive it has been?
Yeah.
Something like that. So easy drive. And Wicklow really has a great restaurant where we went to. You got a reservation on that.
That was a different place. That was Kinsale.
Oh, that was Kinsale. Yeah. Oh, I mix it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, in Wicklow, we had actually dinner at our hotel.
At the Bridge Tavern.
Yeah.
Very cool. Good food.
Very good burger I had there. Yes. So, I mixed that up. So, we're coming to Kinsale the next day, right?
Yes. So, we were there. So, then from the European, drove down to Kinsale. About 3 hours, right? Three hours?
Yeah, true.
On our way to Old Head, but stayed in Kinsale, which was, I'm glad we did.
Totally.
Because what a cool town. I mean, really cool little harbor town.
Yeah.
Great restaurants, cool pubs.
Yeah. Well, and the restaurant we went to is called Fishy Fishy.
Yeah.
And guess what we had? We had really very nice seafood there and nice atmosphere. And it looked like the restaurant really was fully booked. So it was good that
it was totally
made
full.
Reservation on that. So if you want to go to Kinsale to Fishy Fishy, maybe send them an email ahead of time. And don't miss to go to Old Hat. I mean, when we were thinking about doing this golf trip, the ultimate golf experience, I just said, I have one golf course on my bucket list, which I really want to play, and that is Old Hat. And I just saw some pictures, some videos, and it is stunning. Really is.
Yeah, I've never seen a more spectacular, beautiful venue.
Yeah.
I mean, really for anything, but especially for golf. I mean, just going on a hike out there would be
totally
amazing.
Yeah.
But then you play golf around it. It just, you know, the course, the holes go back and forth, and but it somehow seems like every single hole is on the ocean or some kind of amazing view of the ocean.
And not on a beach, it's on a cliff. So it's like a peninsula, and you, at some places, you have cliffs going down for, I don't know, 300 yards, 400 yards at least. So, and it has a beautiful lighthouse at the end of it, and it has a terrific hotel where I think these are 20, 22 rooms maybe, or suites. Yeah, so
amazing.
Very, very well with the best beds, right?
Hands down the best bed in all of Ireland, I'm sure of that.
Mm-hmm.
Sipping on a cloud.
Yeah. So, and we've played that course in the morning after we spent the night in Kinsale, and the weather was actually okay. It was not raining hard. It was raining a little bit in the meantime, but
actually it was windy as hell.
Yeah, it was so
windy.
And I mean, on this golf course, maybe you have three calm days the whole year.
Yeah,
I mean, so if you go to Old Hat, you will get wind, that's for sure. But we had strong wind, and also our caddy Mick said the same, that it was a heavy wind day. And he was a cool dude too.
Yeah, well, so remember, so when we're out there, I mean, the facilities are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
There, first of all, not just the clubhouse, but the putting green, the range. I mean, everything is world class. Like, probably the nicest we saw. Yeah, so Mick comes out on the driving range when I'm hitting, and he's watching my swing and hit, and he's like, "All right." And I think it was on the driving range. I'm not sure why he would have pulled out a ball marker, but I was trying to find my ball marker.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "Oh, I've got one for you." And he pulls it out, and it's a metal one from Black Butte Ranch, which is the course back in Oregon that I worked at for like 9 years.
Yeah.
You know, a small little resort. He thought it was funny because he thought it was Black Butte Ranch. But, you know, all the way here to Ireland, and that's the ball marker he pulls is Black.
Phenomenal.
Beauty. Amazing. He was great.
Yeah.
Really, funny character.
Like
had his
Hulk
big
Hogan.
Totally. Yeah, the red handlebar mustache.
Yeah.
beanie hat.
Yeah.
Great guy. Really awesome. Good, you know, good caddy.
Yeah. We had good company on that, round too. Yeah.
He was fun.
And I had very high expectations to go there. It was the most expensive golf round we did, I think, in Ireland. So expectations were high, but they were fully fulfilled. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was a little bit mean because in the next morning when we woke up, it was the most beautiful day.
It was sunny, wasn't it?
It was sunny. It was calm. It was just nice. But of course, this golf course is always fully booked, and they actually closed it in the mid of October. So now it is closed till spring. They just closed the whole golf course because, I mean, nobody comes out there in January to play. So, and they earn enough money in the rest half of the year. So,
well, they, and the day that Agnes hit, they closed the course.
Oh, yeah.
For that day of.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So some people didn't get to play. And then
that's right.
I also heard that they closed it. And,
yeah, so actually we were lucky that we were able to play. That's true. Yeah, put it this way.
So some people didn't even get to go.
Yeah, I mean, this was really an amazing golf course. I really liked it a lot. And the whole experience to stay there was phenomenal. A great dinner and perfect breakfast. Oh, this breakfast bars they had. I took one for the next day for the round.
And that was the start of the Ryder Cup as well.
Oh, that is right.
Right.
So we were there for Ryder Cup. Yeah. Oh, that seems long ago now. Yeah.
It was interesting though. Like, I'd say if you know, take that course off of its location, it's probably not the best course you play, right?
Yeah.
It's nice.
I mean,
it's
great.
But the holes were just so stunning, right?
Yeah.
So that was all that really mattered. But if you know, if you're just purely there for golf, that's probably maybe not your favorite course. I heard that from a couple other guys we played with said that as well.
Well, everybody says it's the most spectacular
golf course
they've ever played, but not the best.
Yeah, sure. It's still so worth it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, far. I would love to play it every day.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Yeah, so this was my highlight to go to, but you really got into the research on Island Link courses because you've read the book of Tom Coyne.
Yeah.
Golf course named Island, or called Island.
Yeah, course called Island.
And what a great book.
Yeah, mandatory reading for any golf, really anyone who golfs. I think it's fun because it's not so much about just Ireland as it is just the people playing, the culture of it. But yeah, I mean, he's great. Great writer.
Very nice, yeah.
Really, like, witty and...
Yeah.
And thoughtful, not just like, well, this course was great, and I like this. It was more about the people and the walk and the experience, and that makes the trip special.
Yeah.
So even if you're not playing golf, it's a good one.
Yeah, just to get the story. I mean, Bart was so kind, and he did send me that book as well, so I had a chance to read it also for preparation. And Tom Coyne, he walked through Ireland and played every single course on his way, right? So it's a lot about golf, but really much more about the culture and how nice the people are in Ireland. And he is so true, so true. And it's so great to be in Ireland. And now we're still here, but I'm on the way to the airport now. Well, but that's the next chapter. Okay, so we have that beautiful morning in Old Head. It was nice to see how it could be like, and then we got in the car and we drove to Duke's, which is really, I mean, that's the rock star of the links courses, I would say, right?
Yeah, and if you're American, it's not D-U-K-E-S, it's D-O-O-K-S.
Mm-hmm.
Super old course just outside of Killarney, really low key, but I'd say it's on the map now.
Oh,
right? I mean,
totally.
I think originally,
when
Tom Coyne wrote that book, it wasn't so popular, but it's definitely on the map. But cool course, great little clubhouse, you know, no driving range, but they got a chipping area, a couple of nets to hit into.
Yeah.
First tee, you know, first hole is pretty nondescript, but then you go over the hill and you're just out in this kind of open dunes. You can see a lot of the holes from everywhere, but you know, in a good way. And the view of the ocean or the estuary, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Really, really fun.
And we had nice weather.
Gorgeous weather.
Not as windy. Of course, you always have a breeze out there. But actually, it felt for the first time that we really played some small dunes. But it was just really the beginning to say that. But I really liked that course. And like the people there bought a hat. And...
They might win for the coolest logo.
Oh, that's
right.
True.
It's like this cool little frog.
Yeah.
I can't can't remember. It's the, like, it's not the whippersnapper frog. It's the...
It lives nutter. In the dunes, at
it
least.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
Something nutter frog is yeah. called. Anyway, it's the coolest logo.
Yeah.
But good conditions, great course.
Okay. We're driving right now on the motorway, and there are people running here on the motorway. So that's cool. Wow, amazing.
Odd choice, but yeah.
That is okay.
It's probably safer.
Very interesting.
But yeah, Dukes was one of my favorites. That was fun. The conditions were really good. The greens were good.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't smoking fast like some other places, but they were all good.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, that was fun.
So we had a good day there. Great memories.
Then we had two nights in Killarney, which was a great spot. That's a pretty central spot.
Yeah.
For a lot of them. In fact, you could probably do more courses from just Killarney, I think, than we did. But yeah, stayed in Killarney that
night. Which is actually the center when you also just want to do sightseeing the Ring of Kerry.
Yeah,
so totally. This is really one of the highlights, and just scenic wise, beautiful place in an island, the Ring of Kerry. Yeah, that should be on your map for sure. And also the next golf course we
played. Then we drove out to Waterville, had a whatever 11 something tee time, but got up early, got on the Ring of Kerry, you know, the road, and we went the opposite way the tour buses go, right? So they all go counterclockwise. We went clockwise.
Yeah. It was a good choice.
Windy as hell.
Yeah.
And so it was great because we had no traffic and it was beautiful, but it was really foggy. So it's hard for us to see, but you could tell it was gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, really. I mean, I definitely gonna also come back to see the Ring of Kerry in better weather.
But it was stormy that day. That was a rainy, windy day for sure.
Yeah, and yeah, Waterville.
Waterville, and there
we came up. Well, we were still there early, so we had a little second breakfast at this beautiful clubhouse.
Yeah,
I mean, that really, to sit there and to sip a coffee and that view already.
Also,
is
probably one of the prettiest golf clubhouses for sure.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, for sure, the view was the best. And I really, really liked that a lot. But the weather was also not really cool.
Yeah, the weather was rough. we feel like we teed off a little later than we were going to because the weather was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But definitely that was our first course where there was a lot of tourists, I would say.
Yeah. Right?
The first time there was tour buses, small shuttle buses, lots of Americans, so it was, and it clearly has that feel where I think that course for some reason draws a lot of tourists. But
because you really do get the true Lynx experience there. There are really some, I mean, the dunes actually, they got higher and higher as farther we went north on the west coast. So Waterville is still in the southern part of the west coast, but driving up further north, these dunes, I just love them. And Waterville gave us a little feel what will come up, and but the course, all of that was great. I just also like Waterville a lot. And the next day we played
Waterville, like, it was great, it was good, you know. It definitely wasn't the top for me. The weather wasn't awesome, but you set that aside. It wasn't necessarily my favorite. I wouldn't avoid it. I'm definitely glad we did play it. I probably wouldn't go back and spend that kind of money, only because there's just other places I would go to now. Like we were talking yesterday, there wasn't anything super memorable about Waterville. Like, the 12th was amazing. The 18th, I remember that. It was right along the ocean. That was really pretty. But getting compared to a lot of the other courses, it wasn't necessarily my favorite.
Maybe the best thing was the clubhouse, the view, and also their logo.
Their logo's cool.
Their logo is very rabbit. Cool. And
tall, cool rabbit.
Around. You got a really nice shirt for your son.
That's right.
And I bring back some good memories when I think about Waterville.
But it's a cool drive, right? So you do half of the Ring of Kerry, play golf at Waterville, and then you do the other half, and you never see a tour bus.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah, so went back to Killarney that night, and then that was fun.
Yeah.
Killarney on the weekend is pretty big.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Went to J.M. Reedy's pub.
Yeah, that was cool.
That place was.
And we met.
That wins for the coolest pub for me. We went to in Ireland. It is huge, but yet. Just little room after little room after little room, and in one room they're playing like acoustic Irish music. The other room is the Irish World, the Rugby World Cup. And then there's a Premier League game on, and then you go to the back and they've got live music and tons of people. And Paul, it was from Belfast.
Yeah,
he was driving a couple around.
Yeah.
So he said that place just goes off until like 3 in the morning.
And we had great pizza there.
Yeah, good pizza.
Pizza was good.
Yeah, totally.
Of course.
That place is awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe one too many pints of Guinness.
Yeah, that's right. That place, that can happen easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was great preparation for our next golf day. And I think that was Trey Lee, right?
Yes. No. That was Dingle. We went from Killarney. So then we drove down to Dingle, which is maybe an hour and a half down.
Uh-huh. But
easy drive, beautiful.
Yeah.
Right along the coast.
That's right.
You kind of go through Dingle and you go out to the very point.
Wow.
And then Dingle was like even more low key than Duke's was.
Yeah.
You pull up and you kind of look out. It looks like a pasture. And where do the holes go? And kind of seems a little boring. But gosh, once you get out there, really fun. The holes were. I mean, it was a legit course.
Oh yeah.
We had great weather, sun.
Yeah, that was. I played in shorts.
Right.
I played in shorts, but I just said I wanted to play at least once in Ireland in shorts because the locals all play in shorts. No matter what kind of weather it is, but it was a beautiful day.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah,
we did some good shots. So
got paired with a couple from somewhere
in Canada.
Very nice people.
Yeah, professional runners.
Yeah, but not even a birdie made her happy.
That's true.
She was. I'm not sure what brings that woman joy, but it was not much that I saw.
Yeah,
I was more excited for her shots than she was.
Well, and we met them again by chance.
Yeah, we got paired up with them at Trey Lee next day.
At Trey Lee.
No, they were nice. But Dingle was great. That was just a cool, gorgeous spot.
Landscape-wise, really spectacular because we did that scenic drive back to the hotel and we came by. It was just a lookout.
There was a ferry spot.
Yeah.
You had to walk down those stairs down this huge cliff.
Yeah. Beautiful.
That apparently that's how they used to bring supplies and sheep and whatnot when the weather was. I don't know. I didn't fully understand that, but that was stunning.
I mean, if you would like to shoot an advertisement film about Ireland, this would be one of the spots, especially on that day when we were there. Beautiful weather. That was so nice and not as crowded like the Cliffs of Moher or other big touristy places. So, very, very nice.
But for me, frankly, just as pretty as the Cliffs of Moher.
Yeah.
If not more, really.
Yeah.
I mean, because you're maybe not quite as high up, but it's
not organized, no visitor center.
No handrail, no railing.
Yeah,
you could walk right up to the edge and
totally
peek over.
Yeah.
So, that was stunning.
Yeah.
That whole drive was amazing.
And the night at Dingle, we were a little bit tired, which was kind of sad because there were so many great pubs.
I agree. Yeah, there was some really good ones we walked around. We did. There's a part of town we didn't even know existed. We thought it was just the waterfront, but
yeah,
you go up that one street, and then all of a sudden you're in this whole other part of town where all the
and we just local missed the food festival, which was happening. I think it was a first weekend of October, so maybe that happens every year there. I don't know. Please check that out. But that was great atmosphere. So I really liked Dingle a lot, and I was glad that I felt better after our walk because I really overate that night. I remember had a clam chowder soup as a starter. And then codfish and main course, that was way too much. So, yeah. And the next day we went over Connor Pass and drove up to Tralee Golf Course. And we were lucky again on the weather. Wow.
Yeah, the weather was special. I mean, coming over Connor Pass, it was so foggy we couldn't see very well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we got to Tralee and then it was gorgeous. I mean, that was the first day of like pretty light winds, which was funny because by that time, what we then considered light winds would have been heavy winds at home for me. And it felt like I was, you know, playing in a bedroom, in a side of a house.
So calm. So calm. Yeah. And it was nice and warm. And
Sun was out. Great course. I mean, really special course. That's a Palmer course, right?
Yeah. That was
on our I mean, we got down there and, you know, they got an amazing driving range, amazing chipping, putting green, and, you know, up there chipping, and, you know, two helicopters fly in.
Exactly. I just wanted to say, I mean, I never experienced that firsthand, that really people flew in with a helicopter to play a round of golf. So Greta Thunberg will not like that. Yeah. But
well, they were a bunch of New York mafia guys.
That, you know. Well, at least they got good weather too, and I'm sure they also had a hopefully great round of golf. For me, this was really the first time where I couldn't close my mouth because it was just like, oh, this is so beautiful. Every hole was amazing. I mean, number two was Palmer's Peak. Was that right?
Two is the Dogleg right along along the ocean on the right.
Yeah,
crashing waves.
Oh, you know,
and then the green goes out on this peninsula, and then on the left of the green, there's like this old castle turret.
Yeah,
that's sitting right off the edge of the green. I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
such a cool setting.
Yeah,
really. And everyone had said is, well, the back nine is what's really pretty. And I thought the front nine was stunning.
Yeah.
I mean, it was...
Yeah, exactly. They say Arnold Palmer designed the first nine holes and God created the second half.
Yeah, right.
So, and that really is true because it really gets dramatic on the back nine.
But it was just different. The back nine was back into the dunes, whereas the front nine was not.
Yeah.
But on any other course, I mean, the front nine looked just... Yeah. Like Pebble Beach, right? You know, these peninsula golf holes.
Yeah.
Just different. But, yeah, amazing course.
Yeah, I really liked it a lot. I mean, of course, it was also the best round I've played in all of the islands. So that helps, of course, too, to have good memories. But weather-wise, it was perfect. And
the conditions are epic. I mean, they just perfectly maintained, fast greens.
Just great.
Yeah, really good.
Wow.
And then amazing clubhouse again.
Yeah.
Right? The upstairs, view of that is crazy.
Yeah, we were.
You can see 18 coming right in.
Yeah. We were sitting there outside. It was calm. Yeah. So good memories on that. So next day. Was this?
Yeah, next day was Ballybunion. We had an early tea time. We had an 8 a.m. tea time at Ballybunion, which is.
Yeah.
I mean, at this time of year, it was light out, but not for long.
That's right.
And we drove there in the dark.
Yeah.
And
I mean, Ballybunion is probably the mecca of all the Lynx golf courses. Yeah. So pretty sure everybody who's playing golf heard about Ballybunion. Not everybody has heard of Tralee or Waterville or Dukes, but Ballybunion is the place to be in. In a lot of rankings, it's supposed to be one of the top 10, yeah. top 4, whatever ranking you look at. But it's always, well, ranked very high as an amazing golf course.
Yeah, I mean, some have said, like, best course in Europe, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
Depends
who you ask.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, sure, there's also Valderrama, and there are places also in Scotland which are great. So it's always hard to compare golf courses, but we can just talk about what we've experienced and just to get there to this place. And of course, it, for me, it was good that we've played so many other courses ahead that I was not so overexcited anymore, because I knew now, after playing Tralee and all the others, yeah, how it would be like a little bit. But then you come there and you tee off, it's so cool. Yeah. You have on the right side of tee number one a graveyard. So if you do hit a slice, your ball is for sure out of bounds and, well, is laying up next to someone's grave. So that is, never had that experience before. So yeah, it's really a phenomenal first tee shot. But it's getting better and better, right?
Yeah, I mean, that course was was stunning.
Yeah, really liked it a lot.
Yeah, really stunning. I mean, it was, it just built and built and built. And I mean, there's just so many signature holes on that thing. And hard as hell, I thought.
Yeah.
I thought it was a hard course.
And we didn't have a caddy on that. You do not really have to have one because there are not so many blind shots. So it's actually good to play. But we were very fortunate because Matthew was on that day driving around with his cart as a marshal. And he's actually the teaching pro of Belly Bunyan, or one of the teaching pros. And somehow, I don't know if he liked us or if he felt sorry for us.
I think in the beginning, he was trying to keep us moving along. They definitely shuffle you, push you through that course, right? I mean, we didn't have, the group behind us was nowhere to be seen.
Exactly.
At least a hole and a half behind us, yet they were still pushing us to keep up.
Yeah.
And not that we were playing slow, I didn't think.
No, no.
But, you know, you lose a ball and that sets you back. You lose two balls, it sets you back even more.
Yeah.
Well, I think, after a while, he just kind of hung out with us. Yeah. But that is one thing I did learn, is on a course like that, maybe you don't need necessarily a caddy.
Yeah.
But having a four caddy with you, just to keep you organized and playing in the right spot.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of holes where it just would be nice to have somebody maybe move your bags up while you go putt, because there's a lot of holes where you have to leave your bags somewhere, walk up, putt, chip, do your thing, and then come back down to your bags, when in fact you could have just walked around. So I think that's what made it a little slower for us, is that we didn't have somebody doing that for us.
Exactly.
And so in retrospect, if I play that again, probably would just take a four caddy.
Yeah.
So you know where to go, you know your line, the lines to hit on your drives. Somebody kind of help move your bags around a little bit.
And of course, what is nice when you do get some background information about the course, about, I don't know, what is happening there. And Matthew was just a very nice guy. I mean, like, everyone in Ireland is so helpful and just fun to be with. And well, his best round in Belly Bunyan, he shot a 65. So I mean, I probably have to add 30 more shots on that day, but actually I don't know, I didn't really keep track on my score on that day, because it was just, I took so many pictures and was filming and all that. So actually you can see on every day and every course we did, you find all these pictures and videos also on Instagram if you do follow the hashtag The Ultimate Golf Experience, or if you go on Golf and Talk Podcast, you're gonna find all of that also picture-wise. So yeah, Belly Bunyan. I wished we could have played it again, but we finished 18 holes pretty early and we had a sandwich.
Wait, well, real quick, I'll say that the 18th hole at Belly Bunyan probably will.
Yeah.
That, for me, that was, number one finishing hole of every course we played. I mean, you sit up at the clubhouse, you can see the tee, you can see the green. It's yours perched up above it, but this fairway is amazing. There's massive towering dunes. Super cool.
Yeah, loved it.
So many other signature holes that are just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. And the good thing is about Ballybunion, the golf club has a full and stunning second golf course, another 18-holer, the Cashin course. The Cashin course would probably kill almost any other golf course in Ireland if it wouldn't be next to Ballybunion Old Course.
Yeah, I mean, totally different. Two courses, right? There's the Old Course is busy, it's full, every tee time is booked. They're pushing you through as fast as they can get you. Then you go on the Cashin course. We teed off at 2. And we were by ourselves. We saw like one other guy in a cart.
You could go on a cart on that.
Yeah. By the way, the Ballybunion Old Course, that was definitely not an old man's course.
Yeah, that's true.
That was a legit hard walk.
Yeah.
Totally. So that seemed like a great idea to then play 18 more after that.
Yeah.
Because the Cashin course was even harder to walk.
Yeah.
We were up and down so many dunes.
Yeah. Spectacular views and
shorter yardage, right? I mean, you looked at the book and it's not that long.
Yeah,
but still, we didn't play the tips. We played the next tee up, that was plenty, more than enough.
Yeah, really was
because it was still pretty windy, but the weather was good. But I mean, I thought just as stunning as the old course, maybe even more so.
Yeah. And for some reason, I mean, we already played a couple of days of golf, and playing 36 holes, it was, I mean, of course, you got a little bit tired, but still so much adrenaline, joy, however you call it. I was just stoked to play it and not
I was tired. I was tired.
Of course, we were tired afterwards, but still was so much fun.
Yeah.
It's really a lot of fun. And when you play the second round, I mean, the same day, it's just 100 euros you play there. So that's actually a bargain for a course like that. So, yeah, really fun, really nice.
Yeah, the Cashin course was sweet. Absolutely play that again. Well, but apparently they're after this season, which is about to end maybe this week, they're closing that thing down, and he said they're redoing the whole thing.
Amazing.
So he said flatten it. I don't know what that means, if he was saying that that they're gonna just redo it, or if they're actually gonna make it flatter, because it was a beast of a walk. Worth it.
Totally.
So that'll be so glad we got to play it.
Yeah.
The way it was.
Sure.
But it'll be interesting to see what they do, because, man, I don't know how you can make that any better. There's just one stunning hole after one stunning hole after one stunning hole. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, really. God.
But yeah, slept well that night.
Wish to go back to that as well.
Yeah.
So. And from that, it was...
We went to... Then we drove to Lahinch. Stayed in Lahinch that night. Really cool town.
Very nice.
Kind of a surfer vibe, although there wasn't much surfing going on. It was still pretty stormy.
Yeah.
Or got pretty stormy that night. But then played Lahinch the next morning.
It was raining when we went to the range, right?
Yeah. I mean, the Lahinch golf course is... right on the edge of town. I mean, we literally could have walked it.
That's true.
From our hotel room with our clubs easily.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun.
And what I really liked was also their first tee box, which was sheltered actually to the wind. So sitting right next to a huge tee box.
Yeah, kind of sheltered by the clubhouse.
Exactly.
On one side, and then on the other side is the caddy shack.
Yeah.
And then it's just like perfectly flat, grand, first tee box.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And you requested a special caddy, yeah, which was a very wise choice.
Huey Bean, he was a gem. So yeah. Huey was 60, I gotta get this right, 64.
Yeah.
He's been caddying for 57 years.
Wow.
So yeah, he started when he was 7.
Yeah. Wow.
Doesn't play golf anymore, plays guitar.
Yeah. But he caddied also for Gary Player, right? Yeah,
caddied for Gary Player early in the year.
Yeah.
Had seen him, he had him on the No Laying Up Tour of Sauce YouTube stuff. And could just tell he was a character.
Yeah.
And they couldn't speak highly enough about him, and I get it.
Yeah,
he was, it was fun to listen to, great stories, but just an amazing caddy. Like, I mean, he just stand back and look at the putt, mm-hmm, and just say, yep, 3 inches left or right.
Yeah.
Hit it with a little pace. And if you could hit that line, it goes in.
Yeah.
Very true. If it didn't go in, it was your fault.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that was typically the case. But
yeah,
that part was fun. But, I mean, he was really, it was like getting a lesson in golf from that guy.
Yeah.
I mean,
he
probably gave me 3-4 different things that completely changed the way I played golf.
Yeah.
Not just that day, but just in general. And was really good about, you know, you have this lie that, you know, you're on a hill with the ball below your feet, and you know, at home I'm like, oh, this thing's gonna this is a slice lie, right? I'm gonna fire this thing off to the right. He's like, no, it's a hook. It's a hook lie. I'm like, what are you talking about? Didn't say that, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, just trust him. He knows what he's doing. And sure enough, he has me aim right. He's like, aim at that tree and, you know, hit it 175.
Yeah.
Sure enough, the ball just hooks, and, you know, then he kind of explains why. And
yeah,
really, really cool. Like, just a guy I learned so much just from that, from him alone.
Yeah. So, and also, every golf hole was very special on that course.
The history, you could tell the history, the soul of that place was amazing. Like, it just was.
If you do not have a caddy, and if there are no 4 caddies out, because there is one very special hole, actually 2 are so special, which you will probably never find anywhere else in the world. The first one is, I think it was number 4, par 4.
It was par 5.
Yeah, exactly. It's par 5, but we had downwind, so actually you reached the green in 2 easily, right? I mean, hitting like off a 4-iron.
4-iron, 8-iron.
Yeah, something like this. But you have to do your second or third shot over a huge sand dune. We have no idea what is behind you. And so there is a guy sitting there up in front. He has like a little shack to hide in
from the wind
on the other side. So have a little shelter there. And so he kind of gives you the line how to hit that ball, at least what kind of line.
And he's also directing traffic, right? Because
we
found out that I think it was 17. But when you get off 17, or no, the tee of, I don't know, whatever it is, you cross the end of that hole. Yeah. I think you hit across it and then you cross it as well.
Yeah.
So he's directing traffic, but what a cool hole. And I mean, same deal. I think I had like something silly in like, whatever, 200 yards.
Yeah.
And that was one where Huey like didn't tell me how far it was. Mm-hmm. He just said, here, hit an 8-iron. Like,
yeah.
Okay. And he's like, hit it left, you know, right of that white rock, and hit it good. So I hit it, and he's like, you just hit that 8-iron 200 yards.
Yeah,
I'm like, no, I didn't. Sure enough, we get up there, it's on the green.
And, yeah,
you know, you'd never know that if you were playing with a rangefinder or a book, you'd be in those houses front yard across the street.
Across the street.
But that was cool. So then, you play that hole, and then you turn around, and then 5 coming back is a completely blind par 3.
Yeah,
like you can't even see the green
in the wind.
You could just see the front edge of the green, which I didn't realize where it was. But once I saw it, then you could see that. But it was over a big dune into like a bowl with dunes all around it.
Yeah.
And there's this, you know, there's a green really in fun. There. That was fun.
Yeah. I wish I could have played that hole a second time.
Yeah.
I mean,
once you know
I totally misjudged that at all. And wasn't too happy when I came off, I think, with a 6 on a par 3. So, but wow. Yeah, an experience, that's for sure. And yeah, we probably could tell almost to any hole at Lahinch some kind of a story.
Yeah.
It was.
They were all great.
Yeah.
They were all and special.
Like we said before, the dunes get higher, gets more rough in a way, and more spectacular. Yeah, really like Lahinch a lot. The course I would definitely like to come back to.
Yeah, that was a really good day.
Yeah.
Really good day.
All right.
Yeah, what also else?
Like
so then,
the next
yeah,
day.
So then, well, then we went to Klitsenboer, because
that's right.
It's from right Lahinch.
Yeah.
Lahinch Town, you know, the yeah. course is right there. And then if you come out of the course, you just take a left and you're at Klitsenboer in like mm-hmm. 15 minutes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's right there. That was stunning. I mean, it was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, you park,
huge cliffs.
Huge. Huge, big kind of parking area. And then mm-hmm. you walk over and they've got a big visitor center. And and then you kind of walk up and down along the cliffs. Beautiful.
Yeah. And we had nice light. It
yeah.
was very, very beautiful
yeah.
that evening. And so we also, besides playing golf, we did some sightseeing as well, for sure.
Yeah.
It was great. And next day was Dunberg, right?
Yeah. So then, yeah, from Lahinch, we had to drove back down.
A little bit south.
Yeah, a little south. Not far. It's like 30 minutes to Dunberg, which was, you know, just out there kind of by itself.
Yeah.
I mean, stunning property. My gosh, it was beautiful.
Yeah. So this course is owned by a guy which name we do not mention because it's written all over there.
Yeah, you don't. But, you're never wondering who owns that place
when
you're there.
But it's, you can think of him whatever you want, of course, but the golf course and how it is maintained is unbelievable.
Yeah,
I think
hands
it was
down,
probably
the most meticulously maintained course we played. I mean, it was, although the European might be we didn't see it in such good light.
Exactly.
But Dunberg was, I mean, the minute you drive in the gate, you know, this big, huge, massive clubhouse just looms in the distance. And as you get closer, it's gorgeous, and you drive in, and it is just—it is world class.
It is really world class. I mean, probably just the pathways from one green to the next tee box is like fairway.
Yeah,
or it's much better than most of the fairways on any other golf course.
And I'd say that course wins for the best opening hole, right? Number one. Right?
Oh yeah. Totally.
Straight away,
Par
4, downwind, but like into this huge dune.
Yeah.
And then the green is just in this little amphitheater of dune. And I mean, it's wider fairways than most, for sure.
Yeah.
But gosh, absolutely stunning. And true out and back, the nines, the first nine, you just keep going all the way out along the ocean through the dunes. And then you go a couple more, and then I think at 11 you turn around, and then you come all the way back. But
heads up. Well, we're cheering also for actually Greg Norman, who redesigned the course, because it really is a fair golf course. I mean, if you really do hit a bad shot, you will be punished with extra shot, but usually you find your ball pretty wide fairways, but still, of course, challenging also because of the wind and some great golf holes, but not so many blind shots and just beautiful.
You could usually always, maybe you didn't see the green from the tee box,
but you
always see the fairway, and then once you hit the fairway, you
could
always see the green.
Yeah.
So it was, it was
definitely
fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun. I mean, to play that course really was a lot of fun.
But just absolutely perfect greens.
Yeah.
They rolled fast. They're just not a blemish on them. That course was killer.
And actually, we also have to say it was probably raining all night long when we got there.
Oh, yeah, it was delayed.
The course was closed because of too much water on the fairways and on the green.
Puddling all over the course, but by the time we played, it was there was a couple puddles and maybe a hole or two, but drained really fast.
Amazing how they really keep that course in such good shape. Yeah, really fun. So,
almost had an ace on that core, on that hole.
That's right.
That long par three.
That's right.
And all that almost went in.
Yeah, that would have been very much fun.
Yeah.
But yeah. So
that place was special. And, and the of all the Trump places I've been or seen, some of them are they're a little gaudy and a little it's a different taste than mine. But that place is classy. I will say as far as like.
Yeah,
it is.
Were some people in charge who really had taste, and he didn't say, he didn't object. He just let them do. So
it was nice, fun course, good round. It played well.
Yes,
it's expensive. Sure, I'd love to go back, but would I? I don't know. Probably not, just because it's so damn expensive.
Yeah, true.
But
if money were no object,
for sure I would.
Yeah. So from. Then the next day,
it was a big drive, but it was a
complete opposite of the doom bag in concerning, not everything manicured, but very nice. Where did we go?
Oh, yeah. So we drove up to Carn.
Yeah.
3.5 hours. Should have been 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Some dummy decided to... put gas in the diesel car. By dummy, I mean me. So, FYI, if you're from the United States, diesel is not green handles. It's the opposite.
It's black.
Black. So, when you see a green handle, it is gas.
Yeah. And if you have a diesel car, take the black one.
So, I throw 3/4 of a tank full of gas into a diesel tank, car starts sputtering, barely running, we pull over, and it's late. Yeah. It's, 7:30 at night, or 6 o'clock at night, everybody's closed, everybody's very friendly, but no one's open.
Yeah.
And so we're ready to now cancel our hotel room in Belmullet and stay in Castle Bar, I mean, we're trying everything. And then, so as we were walking to this hotel that we had read about, happened to see this random shop. We're like, what's that place? It's part of a gas station with a shop way in the back and two dudes standing out in front of it.
Michael and Greg.
And so let's go talk to those guys.
Yeah.
So we tell him what the deal is. He's got he's heavy Irish. I can barely understand Michael. And he's like, yeah, bring it up. And then so I drive back
over
and drive this sputtering car.
You should not drive a car when you have diesel in a gas tank. He said, come on,
just drive it up. Yeah. He's like, it's a rental. So I was fine with it. We got it up there. And man, the short of it is these guys disconnected the gas line from the engine, put the gas line into a
tank,
like a jerry can.
Yeah.
And then he gets his computer out and he fakes the car into running the gas pump and just pumps our gas tank right out. It took like 30 minutes.
Unbelievable.
And so got us and then filled us up. Car worked like a champ.
Yeah.
Our trip.
I mean, this
was going to take a turn for the... much worse.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't have played the next day.
Exactly.
Maybe two. And we were on the road, got into Belmullet late, but we got there. And,
we got there. Yeah.
And Belmullet's cool. It's out there. I mean, you can tell it was
beautiful.
The edge. So we're going to play a course called Carn, Carne.
Yeah. Highly recommend.
That was my top, put a pin on this one. I can't wait to play it.
Yeah.
Because it was not as heavily traveled, but you don't get all the big tour buses, golf buses that you do down at the Valley of Onions.
Actually was very busy.
But it was busy,
because they had, we played it on a Friday, and they had a big amateur tournament on Saturday and Sunday, so a lot of guys play their practice rounds. Yeah. So there was some traffic, yeah, but we had an amazing caddy.
Yeah. Oh my God. So yeah. So when we pull in, it was stormy as hell that yes. day. We were pretty sure yeah. it was full rain gear day.
Yeah.
Windy as hell. Kind of foggy.
Yes.
And there was, you know, two cars in the parking lot. And we're like, oh, we're fine. You know, they'll let us go out whenever. There's no one's going to be playing today. And we get in there and the guy's like, oh no, it's busy today. Like, holy shit. All right. So we're standing there and this really nice woman who's kind of dressed up.
Yeah.
Totally. Right? She had like nice slacks on, like yeah. a nice sweater.
Yeah.
Her hair's done.
Little makeup.
You know, and she's, you know, older woman. And she's like, oh, I've got a gentleman coming at 9. You know, do you mind going out with us? I'll look after you guys. I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, this woman's going to play yeah. with us. This will be yeah. great. Which just sounded awesome. Going to play with a local and this will be great.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out Ann is our caddy. And he's like, oh, she's the best caddy out there. And I'm like, holy cow, okay. And so the other guy shows up. He's from Australia. And she is, like, his caddy.
Yeah. Right?
So
yeah.
but she got a four caddy for us.
Yeah.
So she goes in, gets her rain gear on and her backpack. And, you know, all of a sudden she's bundled up and, like, let's go. And, gosh, she yeah. was, you know, yeah, she was awesome. So it turns out yeah. She's married to one of the gentlemen that's been captain of that club a couple times.
Yeah.
Very integral in the start of that club. And she's been a lady captain, I learned later, like 3 or 4 times mm-hmm. herself. Yeah. Like starting in whatever, 65, she was captain, and then again in 2000 things. So but yeah, Anne turns out was 78?
78
years old. caddies every day, sometimes yeah. twice.
Yeah, unbelievable.
She was with us for 27 holes.
Yeah.
And just the nicest,
yeah.
most fun woman to be around.
Yes.
There was times where Brent, the guy we were with, would lose a ball and he wouldn't even want to go look for it. And she just takes yeah. off up into the dunes. You know, like it's like
totally.
She's a golden retriever and, you know, comes out with a ball.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, he wasn't even interested looking for it.
Yeah.
She was with us the whole day. She got yeah. her birdie flask out. She
yeah.
got this nice little leather backpack. And,
yeah. Had some whiskey with her.
And it was blowing like mad.
Yeah,
it was raining hard. It was foggy. And she was just smiling her face. And
totally. Yeah. But we would have been lost without her. I mean,
that course is confusing.
Yeah, for the sure. course is confusing. How they have 18 holes and another 9-hole course, but the 9-hole course starts on hole 15 or
yeah.
something.
Well,
or
yeah, they should be careful. Yeah. The yeah. course is not confusing.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah,
the way
yeah.
they have it signed,
yeah, exactly,
and the way the scorecard and the birdie book yeah. work, that's confusing.
Yeah.
The course itself is fine. Like
yeah,
once
yeah,
you
you're
just,
right. Yeah.
If they would just relabel the thing, it'd be yeah. easy as pie.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah, we would have been
yeah.
absolutely lost because the dunes are massive.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
so tall, and there are a lot of blind shots. And mm-hmm. then throw the fog in there, where
yeah.
like even if you could see the fairway, you're still a bit blind.
Yeah. And I actually pulled my bag early in the morning when I got my golf clubs out. I mean, we were in full rain gear. And so I had a sore bag and walking in the rain, in the storm, 27 holes. And I can say I still had so much fun.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that was
that's
a gem.
That's really something.
Absolute gem. The,
yeah.
the greens were pretty slow.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, maybe not as meticulously maintained fairways.
Yeah, yeah.
But not in a bad way. Like, it was yeah. absolutely awesome.
Yes.
And
yeah, there
beautiful.
Are really a lot of holes which I will not forget.
Totally.
Yeah.
Total adventure.
Yeah.
But yet not, like, absurd. Everything was, you know, it's a hard walk.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
everything, once you're on the fairways, once you're on the greens, everything was, like, very yeah. fair and awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, my gosh, if Van can caddy for me again,
Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah.
Really fun.
Well, and if you want to, you can become a member for 3,000 euros. You pay it once, and then you're a member for lifetime, and you can always play up in Karn. I think I will not become a member, but I think it's a great, great idea, and I will for sure come back to that place play it in better conditions, because the next day...
Yeah, I mean, actually, I would say if somebody asked me, okay, so after going there, what are the courses you would go back to?
Yeah.
You know, top of the list is Karn for me. That's, that would be a must visit if I went back.
Yeah.
Sure, there's others, but that one for sure is...
Yeah.
It's fun because the vibe there is so wonderful.
Yeah, great.
It's
club
low key.
Too. Yeah.
The people are insanely nice.
Yeah.
That place was just awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we went on the next morning on a nice road trip to a place we actually played yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that long
that far
ago.
Away.
Inishkron, and we were so lucky that the last day of golf the two of us had was such a beautiful day on a really, really great golf course as well. So Inishkron,
Inishkron is great.
Yeah,
I mean, the weather was amazing. I mean, that was first day we had, I mean, in my opinion, no wind. There was wind.
Yeah.
But, and again, it's probably, if I'm at home, that's like moderate winds.
Yeah.
But it felt like it was still.
Yeah.
And the sun came out, teed off in the afternoon, which is great.
No rain gear, just really polo shirt was enough.
Yeah.
Beautiful fall day.
Yeah, big dunes, but you kind of play in and out of the dunes. Part, you know, there's probably a handful of holes that are flat, just look like pasture, but still awesome.
Yeah, and which has also been a nice change. I mean, when you have it both, right? We had so many good shots on that.
Yeah,
golf
but
course.
Just nice, really well-maintained course. Like, the fairways were just perfect.
Yeah.
And the greens were great.
Yes. Yeah,
and
really nice.
Everything was great. That course.
And what I really found out, I mean, maybe also we've played so much golf, and it was good condition, but I really felt in control of my game.
Yeah.
I really had the feeling, well, if I want to make that shot, now I can do it. Mm-hmm. Just execute. And it just felt good. It was perfect finish of the ultimate golf experience, for me.
I think that's where I realized that I hadn't thought much about this trip as being a learning experience for playing golf, right? I kind of figured, it would be fun. We'll go play these courses.
Mm-hmm.
How well can you do? Not necessarily for me score-wise, but like, can I play it well? Can I, whatever.
And have fun.
But I didn't realize, like, oh my gosh, what playing in these conditions, this type of golf, does for my game. Like, I feel like I swing totally different now than I did when I got here.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I approach the game totally different. You know, it used to be what someone I heard say called top tracer golf, right? Where you're every single hole, driver as far as you can, hit a number, lob wedge it, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it just, and everything, if you hit at a pin, you look at the distance, you hit that with your wedge, and the ball sticks, and then you try and make a birdie or whatever, right? Whereas here, totally different, right? You're hitting knockdown 5 irons into a 120-yard par 3.
Yeah, exactly.
You're hitting a 9 iron, 190 downwind. You know, you're rolling it totally different, and it makes you, like, you have to hit the ball.
Yeah.
It teaches you to hit the ball really well, but in a totally relaxed and calm way, whereas at home, we just swing like mad, and how hard can you hit it? Here, if you do that,
ball goes everywhere. It doesn't work. So it's so much more of a finesse game than I've ever had to play before, and I think that's good.
Yeah.
So it was fun. So yeah, so the European, sorry, the Dennis Crumb was finally that feeling of like, oh, okay, like I'm a different golfer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like I said, I'm more in control of it, and I'm not just trying to swing out of my shoes on every hole. It was fun. That's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I mean, we've planned that trip almost 1.5 years ago. We had the first idea.
Yeah.
And you really, when you want to play the big courses, some of them you have to make tee time reservations a year ahead of time. We wanted to play Royal County Down as well, which is one of the nicest courses in Ireland as well, a little bit north of Dublin. And I emailed them more than a year ago. They said, well, we have 2 tee times left for the entire year, 2023. One is in May and one is on a Tuesday afternoon in June. Yeah. So that is pretty amazing. And all these courses are very expensive. So it's not like you just go there and have fun. It's, you have to kind of organize it. So I was really waiting for that golf trip for such a long time. And now that we did it, that we have done it, it was such a great experience. I mean, also, of course, that the two of us, that we met again after 13 years, we haven't seen each other. And it was really so much fun to play all these courses, to hang out in the pubs in the evening, having a pint of Guinness. The food was much better than most people will tell you. Ireland is just a phenomenal country to travel. And we've said it before, but the people here are just the most friendly and nicest people on earth. Maybe Thailand will beat it, or Bhutan, but I don't know. Not to compare.
No, it's just, they're so friendly. And the country's beautiful.
Yes.
And like you made a great observation. Like just driving around, like
everybody's
house, property, everywhere you drive is so nice.
Yeah, true.
I mean, you're in the most rural roads, and there's these beautiful, maintained, like lovely little homes. Never once you see anything that's like trashy or it's really wonderful.
Yeah,
fun pubs, fun.
So this will be a trip which I will never forget. And if you like that podcast episode, you're more than welcome to share it, spread the word. It has been presented by Stillwater Homes and by Tentacle Sync. This is a company actually from Cologne, and they have this very cool audio recording system, so which we use right now to record that podcast. So check out Tentacle Sync if you're into podcasts, if you're into filming. They are just phenomenal. Well, all we can say now, Bart, you will have fun now for
your last round of golf.
Bart is very lucky. He will drop me off at Dublin Airport in a couple of minutes, and then you will go on and have another round of golf.
The European.
Yeah. And today is another beautiful day, much different than the one we've had there. So I'm pretty jealous that you really have that experience. But the good thing is, from Cologne, Germany, it's just a 2-hour flight to Dublin and a 45 minutes drive to the European. So I'm pretty sure I will come back to that course and maybe gonna play some other courses in Ireland as well. And maybe we make part 2 of the ultimate golf experience one day. Follow us on Instagram and spread the word. And enjoy Ireland and every next golf round, wherever you're going to play it. That's a lot of fun. Thank you, Bart.
Yeah, thank you.
My name is Manuel Unger. Bye-bye.
Be good. Golf and Talk, der Podcast.